Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey or a second tunic, or sandals or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. It's good to see you all again. And happy Feast of St. Barnabas to you. Now, I don't know what you guys think, but I think St. Barnabas is a pretty cool saint. So do you actually know anything about St. Barnabas, aside from the fact that he was an apostle? If you don't, you're going to find out. So here's the deal. First of all, St. Barnabas was... Does anyone here... I feel like I'm teaching... kids here, but does anyone here know who St. Barnabas' famous cousin was? His first name was Saint, and his last name was Mark. So Barnabas was cousins with St. Mark the Evangelist, who obviously was an important figure in the early church. And the thing about St. Barnabas, his original name was Joseph. Barnabas was a name that was given to him by the early church members, kind of like they changed Saul's name to Paul eventually. They changed Barnabas's name from Joseph to Barnabas. Something about biblical Josephs, they always seem to be super humble, and I think that is the characteristic that most defines St. Barnabas. The name Barnabas, by the way, means son of encouragement, because that seems to be what his special charism was. He was a person who was very humble, it was never about him, and who went about bringing encouragement, enthusiasm, and joy. So, in the early church, we know that in the very beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, when they were saying that the early church members would come and lay their money at the feet of the apostles, he was one of them. He actually sold a piece of property that he had and just donated all of his money practically to the apostles so that they could distribute it to the poor and help, you know, build the church. And then when the persecution hit the early church in Jerusalem after St. Stephen was killed, he was stoned to death at the feet of a person by the name of Saul, later known as St. Paul. When the church became persecuted in Jerusalem, it's like somebody, you know, threw a rock into a lake and all the ripples went out. So the people fleeing for their lives basically started going to other countries. That's when St. Paul was chasing after them in Damascus, you know, he had his famous fall off the horse. Well, actually, we don't know if he had a horse, but anyway, he saw the vision of Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he had his conversion. Well, one of the places where the church got established was Antioch, which is in modern-day Turkey, which if you're lucky enough to go to Greece and Turkey with me, it's one of the places that you will not see. Anyway, it's too far away. So when the early church was founded there and things were really getting going and the Holy Spirit was active, the apostles decided to send St. Barnabas, who was considered to be one of the pillars. And the thing that's cool about him is not only did he go and preach and teach and bring enthusiasm and, you know, guidance and all that, but he recognized, you know what? I know somebody who is even better for this job than I am. And he went out to the city of Tarsus, where St. Paul was from, and he found Paul, and he brought him. And the church in Antioch became one of the pillars of the early Catholic Church. It was one of the seven original important churches in Catholicism. And from Antioch, after a year of being there, he and St. Paul, when everyone was praying together, there was a famous prayer gathering. And through a prophecy, they said, set Saul or Paul and Barnabas aside for the mission that I have for them. And they were the first two to start spreading the gospel across the Roman Empire. Paul, in his first two journeys, went always with St. Barnabas. And one of the journeys, they brought along the fellow St. Mark, and St. Mark eventually chickened out and abandoned them, so Paul had a hard time forgiving him. Later on, when Mark kind of got his feet back under him and decided, you know what, I was repentant and humiliated and everything, came back and he wanted to join Barnabas and Paul, St. Paul said, absolutely not. I've already seen his performances. And Barnabas and Paul split up because Barnabas reached out the same way that he'd reached out to Paul, who previously was the outcast. Now he was reaching out to St. Mark. And we know that St. Mark went on to become gospel writer, secretary of St. Peter, one of the pillars of the early church. But I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that Barnabas was willing to reach out to him. So I think there's a lot that we can learn from him. He was not the guy who always had to be in first place. He recognized the talents and the qualities, for example, of a guy like St. Paul, and he said, this guy is on a completely different level. But nonetheless, he was a great second in command, so to speak. He was somebody who was willing to do things in the background. He was somebody who was always willing to be the encourager. And there's a real mission for that for us in the church. Not everybody here can be that person who's out in front. Even amongst priests, even though that's kind of what we're supposed to do for a living, is be that person out in front. Not all of us by personality have that characteristic. Some of us are called also to be those background people. That doesn't mean that you are less. Sometimes it may mean that you are more when you're in the background. And I think Barnabas can give all of us encouragement then to know that regardless of, as long as we have that purity of intention and that charity and that joy to reach out to those who are in need, God will use us to do great things. And sometimes, just like, for example, as parents, your greatest joy will not be to necessarily the things that you yourself do, but your greatest joy may be to help form your children and launch them and watch them go on to do great things. Well, the same thing is true in the church. So often, those who step out and become, you know, those great figures in the church that everyone reads about, in the background, behind the scenes, you're going to see all these quiet cast of characters there, parents and parish priests and the little nun and whoever else, that encourage them along the way that we never hear about, but that God sees, and that without them, you know, these great saints never would have become who they were. So let's see, be sure to pray to St. Barnabas today, and if you run out of intentions, you can pray to him for me, all right? Because I can always use the encouragement and even the humility that he brought along. Father and Son, Holy Spirit.